Loving Your Wife as Christ Loves the Church by Larry E. McCall, BMH Books, 2009, 200 pages, paperback. A book summary from Books at a Glance. About the author. Larry E. McCall has pastored Christ's Covenant Church, Winona Lake, Indiana, since 1981. Pastor McCall and his wife, Gladine, have three married children. Overview. Christ calls husbands to love their wives the way that he loves the church. Jesus is the model that all husbands are to imitate. This book points out the many ways that Jesus expresses his love for the church, but it then goes on to show husbands how they can love their wives the way Jesus loves his bride. The gospel of Jesus Christ is put at center stage, and then it is applied in practical ways to the marriage relationship. Husbands are not only encouraged and challenged to love as Jesus loves, they are given instruction on how to draw on God's resources and find help in caring for their wives the way that they should. This book is designed to help husbands follow Jesus and love their wives with the same type of love with which Christ loves the church. It applies biblical principles in practical ways. By God's grace, husbands can grow in the depth and quality of their love for their wives. When they do so, marriage can be honoring to God and an incredible source of delight, joy, and holy love. Table of Contents. Introduction. Chapter 1. The Perfect Husband. Chapter 2. A Predetermined Love. Chapter 3. A Peerless Love, Part 1. Chapter 4. A Peerless Love, Part 2. Chapter 5, A Practical Love. Chapter 6, A Protecting Love. Chapter 7, A Purposeful Love. Chapter 8, A Providing Love. Chapter 9, A Passionate Love. Chapter 10, A Praying Love. Chapter 11, A Purifying Love. Chapter 12, A Pardoning Love. Chapter 13, A Persevering Love. Chapter 14, The Challenges and Rewards of Christ-like Love. Appendix A, A Personal Relationship with God. Appendix B, For the Man with an Unconverted Wife. Appendix C, For the Man in a Particularly Difficult Marriage. Appendix D, Starting a Men's Accountability Group. Book Summary. Chapter 1, The Perfect Husband. Although little could be more important than being a good husband, very few men have had godly mentors and models who have coached them or shown them how a husband is to act. Nevertheless, the Bible presents Jesus Christ as the great model that all husbands are to imitate. Every husband is called to love his wife just as Christ loved the church. Marriage is referred to by the Apostle Paul as a mystery. This does not mean that it is hard to understand. It means that unless God had revealed the deeper significance of marriage, nobody would have discerned it. The mystery of marriage is that it is a picture of the relationship that Jesus Christ has with the church. More particularly, in marriage, husbands are to love their wives so deeply that their love demonstrates the same type of love that Christ has for the church. Christ's love for the church is unconditional, sacrificial, and voluntary. As imitators of Christ, therefore, husbands must exemplify a love that has the same characteristics. They must love their wives unconditionally, regardless of whether or not their wives are reciprocating. They must sacrifice for their wives. This does not merely mean that husbands should be willing to die for their wives. It means they must be ready to live for them, putting their wife's needs ahead of their own on a daily basis. Loving unconditionally means putting aside selfishness and personal preferences. Husbands must also love their wives voluntarily as opposed to grudgingly. They must act in the best interest of their wives, not merely to avoid conflict or earn points, but to truly bless them. At best, human husbands are imperfect mirrors of Jesus Christ. But God still calls every husband to faithfully imitate Jesus Christ and his love for his bride, the church. Chapter 2, A Predetermined Love. There are not many men who truly consider the significance of the vows they make on their wedding day. In fact, most men rarely, if ever, give their vows a second thought throughout the remainder of their lives. These vows, however, are incredibly significant. They are also entirely unconditional. There are no ifs in wedding vows. Husbands vow to love their wives unconditionally, no matter how difficult their lives may turn out. This predetermined, deliberately chosen attitude is the same as that of Christ Jesus. Before the creation of the world, Jesus chose to love his bride. It was not because the church was healthy and beautiful and loving. In fact, it was the opposite. Jesus did not choose to love his bride because of anything intrinsically pleasing about her. In fact, it was while his bride was unclean and sinful that Jesus determined to die for her. Jesus loves the church not because she was pure, but because his love, life, death, and resurrection make her pure. Husbands are called to love their wives for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. If a husband's love for his wife is conditional, or if it is contingent on a particular characteristic that he likes about her, he will not fulfill his promises and vows if his wife changes. Husbands must predetermine to love their wives even if they become physically or mentally disabled. They are called to love their wives through disagreements, financial struggles, and any other trial imaginable. A predetermined love will endure no matter what. Chapters 3 and 4, A Peerless Love, Parts 1 and 2. Jesus has a special love for the church that is distinct from his love for the world. He loves the church in a unique way and acted out of love to redeem her and purify her. This exclusivity needs to characterize the love that husbands have for their wives. Husbands are to love their wives with a peerless love. His wife must have no rivals for his love. In 1 Timothy 3:2, Paul writes that an elder must be a one-woman man, literal translation. This means that a husband must be completely devoted and dedicated to only one woman, his wife. Every part of a husband's being must be reserved in a special way for his wife. He must reserve his ears for her alone, turning away from the flattery of others and listening to his wife. He must also reserve his eyes for her alone. Lust has always been something that people have struggled with, but today's Western culture is increasingly immodest. There are also a variety of avenues in which to access pornography and other illicit sexual stimuli. Seeking sexual satisfaction in anything other than a monogamous marriage is doomed to failure, since lust can never be satisfied. It is also extraordinarily damaging to both the man who is engaging in it and his wife who suffers for it. In some tragic cases, lustful thoughts and actions have led both to the destruction of marriages and to incalculable harm to children. Since the consequences can be so severe, husbands need to be very careful about the compliments they give to other women and the amount of flirting with which they are comfortable. Banter and hugging, although they can seem harmless or even helpful depending on the context, can begin to draw people together who should be fully dedicated to someone else. Husbands need to demonstrate to their wives and everyone who knows them that they are a one-woman man. Although it may seem extreme, adopting very conservative policies towards other women can help men avoid starting out on a path that ends somewhere they never intended or even thought was possible. There are a number of marriages that have ended because of adultery, where the adulterers have expressed surprise that they ended up breaking their marriage vows. Many who are caught in adultery confess that they never saw it coming until they were already involved. Since this is the case, husbands must put safeguards in place ahead of time, and they must pay very careful attention to warning signs in their lives. Most adulterous relationships start out innocuously, but over time, they grow in conversational intimacy. Instead of chance encounters, meetings are arranged and times to talk privately are set up. Relationships can slowly grow into something they shouldn't be. Those who have been hooked into an adulterous affair need to confess it for what it is, It is adultery, and it is a sin against God and against their spouse. Contact with the other party needs to be cut off entirely. Repentance and counseling need to take place. By far, however, the most important thing is to avoid adultery in the first place. Recognize your weakness and need for God's grace and strength. Practically, the best way to avoid the false promise of adultery is to cultivate a great relationship with your wife. Love God, your wife, and be wise. Chapter 5. A Practical Love. Actions speak louder than words. If what we do contradicts what we say, the truth of who we are is found in our actions rather than our words. Jesus Christ is the only person who has ever spoken and acted out of perfect love all the time. Everything he said and did matched in absolute integrity. Husbands are called to love their wives in word and deed. They are called to find practical ways to love their wives. Godly love is a practical love. Husbands need to verbalize their love for their wives every day, but they need to go beyond words to practical demonstrations of their love. Jesus washed his disciples' feet and gave up his life for the church. Imitating this love requires self-giving action. One of the ways that husbands can love their wives is by helping them in their work. There are a variety of tasks that wives perform, both inside and outside of the home. Husbands need to see where they can lend a hand and relieve her burdens. Being observant and focused on caring for your wife will reveal many opportunities for helping her. One critical area where husbands need to help their wives is in active listening. Wives need to be able to share with their husbands, without their husbands multitasking or only half focusing on the conversation. Men need to really hear their wives so that they can know what their needs actually are. Many women simply want the opportunity to share their feelings with their husbands so that they can be connected. Sometimes husbands rush to try to fix the issues their wives tell them about. But more often, men need to be there for their wives, attentively listening to them because they care. This is a tremendous blessing and help to their wives. It is a practical way to show empathy, care, and love. Chapter 6. A Protecting Love. One of the most memorable lessons the author learned from his father occurred when the author was 16. He was defiant and talked back to his mother. His father sat him down and said, "I don't ever want to hear you talk to my wife that way again." Husbands have a special responsibility to protect their wives, even sometimes from their children. Jesus perfectly protects his bride. He is depicted as a good shepherd who protects his flock and even dies to save his sheep. Jesus gives his followers the Holy Spirit to care for them until he returns in glory. Jesus even placed leaders in churches to care for his people spiritually. Husbands need to protect their wives in every domain. They need to protect their wives physically, making sure their wife is safe from danger. This may involve work around the house, but it is more than that. It extends to all areas of health and concern. Husbands also need to protect their wives emotionally. There are many strains and stresses in this world, and husbands need to guard their wives and help them avoid being overwhelmed. Husbands also need to help shield their wives from destructive people who can hurt them emotionally. By cultivating a loving and tender relationship, husbands can help protect their wives from the allure of an affair. Husbands must also protect their wives spiritually. Both men and women are called to follow Jesus Christ, and both men and women are prone to temptation and falling short. Husbands need to learn about their wives' hearts and see their unique dispositions and tendencies. Godly husbands will love and protect their wives by pointing them to Jesus, encouraging them in their faith, and walking with them in spiritual disciplines. Chapter 7. A Purposeful Love. In many businesses, churches, and even individual lives, strategizing and implementing 5-year plans is very common. Such plans set forward intentional goals and the strategies with which to reach them. Planning speaks of purpose. Husbands are called to love their wives with purpose. Marriages should have goals and plans. Jesus Christ loves his bride with purpose. He planned on redeeming her, dying for her, purifying her, and transforming her into holiness. His goal for us is to be made like Him. This redemptive plan is motivated by His love. Since husbands are to love their wives as Christ loves the church, it follows that husbands should have a purposeful love for their wives. Jesus' plan is to transform His bride, and a primary tool that He uses in the power of the Holy Spirit is a godly marriage. Husbands need to be used by the Holy Spirit to help their wives be transformed into the image of Christ. Men must do this by their example. In the first instance, wives need to see that their husbands are walking with the Lord and being transformed by His grace. Husbands cannot merely try to teach their wives the truth. They must live out the truth. They must also encourage their wives in their walk with the Lord. Husbands must encourage their wives to make walking with Jesus Christ their number one priority. Every husband should live with the purpose of helping his wife be more like Jesus. Chapter 8. A Providing Love. People naturally take care of their bodies. They eat, bathe, and generally look after themselves. This natural care reflects the care and provision that Jesus makes for the church, described metaphorically as His bride in Ephesians and as His body in 1 Corinthians. Jesus generously meets the needs of His people. As husbands imitate Him, they are called to provide and care for their wives. Since husband and wife become one flesh, when the husband cares for his wife, he is really caring for half of himself. Everyone has a variety of needs. Husbands are called to provide for the needs of their wives. Although there are seasons of life or adverse circumstances where it may not be possible for a husband to provide for his wife materially or financially, this is one area where husbands need to do their very best for their families. Many times, families have a sufficient income to meet their needs, but they run into trouble and debt because of unnecessary spending and consumption. Husbands need to put the good of their wives ahead of their own desire to buy and consume. Husbands must also provide emotional security for their wives. They must listen, appreciate, admire, and assure their wives of their value. Husbands who are imitating Christ also need to put their wives' spiritual good as a high priority. They also need to ensure that their wives are receiving the social stimulation that they require to feel connected and supported. Chapter 9. A Passionate Love. Song of Solomon joyously and uninhibitedly expresses the passion, pleasure, and intimacy that should characterize the sexual relationship in marriage. In Zephaniah, God is depicted as rejoicing over His people with singing. Jesus Christ passionately loves the church. Although the love that God has for His people is not erotic, it is passionate. In fact, Jesus loves His church more passionately than any husband loves their wife. Sadly, in some marriages, romance and physical passion dwindles over time. In God's goodness, however, the opposite can be the case. Passion can and should grow between husbands and wives the longer they are together. Many times, problems in the sexual sphere stem from lack of understanding the differences between men and women. The physical differences are obvious, but there are emotional, psychological, and relational differences between the sexes that are just as important. Men can compartmentalize sex, as they do other aspects of their lives, but women integrate sexual activity into a wider relational whole. In other words, wives do not detach sex from the overall health and harmony of their relationship with their husbands. As a result, husbands need to ensure that they are relating to their wives in all areas of their relationship. They need to communicate, connect emotionally, and take the time to arouse their wives in passion and purity. Sexual passion is a gift from God, and when married couples use their passion to give pleasure and satisfaction to their spouse, as opposed to trying to get pleasure and satisfaction, marriages are wonderfully enriched and God is glorified. Chapter 10. A Praying Love. Jesus Christ prayed for His disciples. In fact, right before His impending crucifixion, He prayed for His church, asking God to protect His people and sanctify them. Since husbands are to love their wives as Christ loves the church, they are to pray for and with their wives. Frankly, many husbands agree with this theoretically, but not nearly as many are actually cultivating a healthy prayer life with their wives in mind. Prayer in general requires humility. It represents an emptying of self and a recognition of helplessness. Prayer looks to God alone for strength, wisdom, and provision. Couples who pray together grow closer to the Lord, closer to each other, report statistically higher levels of marital satisfaction, and they avail themselves of the Lord's help and resources. As Jesus' disciples asked him to teach them how to pray, so husbands need to ask the Lord for wisdom. Studying the Scriptures, observing their wife's life, and talking with her about her concerns and needs will help a husband learn how to pray specifically for his wife. Spontaneous times of prayer are wonderful, but most couples who regularly pray together find the need to schedule a time and a place for their prayers. Praying as a couple requires planning and discipline. The overall busyness of life is a constant threat to times of prayer. There are also spiritual problems like immaturity, fear, and pride. In God's grace, couples can grow to experience a rich prayer life together, even if the initial attempts are awkward and fall short of their ideals. Chapter 11, A Purifying Love. Christ's love for the church is a purifying love. His goal is to cleanse his bride from everything that stains or defiles her, and then to present her as spotless, without blemish, radiant, and holy. God calls husbands to love their wives in a way that purifies them and strives to help them grow in their holiness and relationship with Jesus Christ. To do this, husbands need to begin by looking at how Jesus' love purifies his bride. Christ laid down his life for his bride. He also washes her and cleanses her through the Word, that is, the gospel message. He then continues to feed her with truth. Husbands need to model Christ's likeness to their wives. This means that husbands must be growing in their own walk with the Lord. They must also plan time to teach their wives and study the Scriptures and other good books together. Husbands are called to be the spiritual leaders in their homes. Besides regular scheduled times, there are countless opportunities that come up throughout the course of our days and lives where husbands can point their wives to the Lord and His Word. Since husbands cannot provide everything their wife needs, they should also encourage and enable her spending time with other believers who will help her grow in her faith. Although it is very sensitive, husbands also need to gently and humbly help their wives identify and conquer sin in their lives. Husbands should set the example by being willing to deal with sin in their own life and by resisting the temptation to be harsh or hypocritical. In the end, the great goal is to be like Jesus Christ, and this is a goal worth pursuing with all our might. Chapter 12, A Pardoning Love. In marriage, both partners marry a sinner. Both husbands and wives will sin against each other throughout their entire married lives. Husbands need to learn to react in a godly way when their wives sin. As in everything else, Jesus Christ provides the model for how husbands should respond to sin. Jesus has limitless patience, and although he has the power to simply destroy every sinner, he chose to extend forgiveness and pardon. This forgiveness is offered freely to sinners, but only because Jesus bore the infinite cost of shedding his blood and dying in their place. Rather than making them pay the penalty for their sin, Jesus took it upon himself and forgave them. As followers of Jesus, husbands need to offer a patient, pardoning love to their wives. This does not mean they will ignore sin or close their eyes to its presence. It means they will recognize sin for what it is, but then choose to let it go and choose to pardon their wives. In the same way that Christ does not demand that we pay for our sins, husbands won't demand that their wives pay for their sins. The strength to forgive in this way can only come through recognition of what Christ has done for us. When we see the great pardoning love of Christ for us, and when we remember how much we have been forgiven, we will be able to pass on forgiveness to others. Chapter 13, A Persevering Love. Many marriages go through stages where the relationship is strained or unsatisfying. It can be very tempting to begin to think that the marriage was a mistake or that things would be better if the marriage ended. The love that Jesus Christ has for His bride, however, can never end. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, and we sin against Him continually. In society, and even in the church, marriage is often viewed as impermanent. Yet God designed marriage to be lifelong, and Jesus refused to address marriage in terms of loopholes. Jesus insisted that people focus on God's design for permanence. Husbands and wives become one, and nobody is to separate them. Even though the world says otherwise, the statistics prove that people who divorce are generally much worse off afterwards than they were before. Children are also greatly impacted when their parents divorce. Married couples need to seek God's strength and draw on Christ's persevering love so that they can maintain their wedding vows. In God's grace, when people honor their vows and seek marital health, even troubled marriages can be made beautiful and vibrant over time. Chapter 14. The Challenges and Rewards of Christ-like Love. As we have seen, husbands are called to love their wives as Christ loves the church. Every husband who takes this calling seriously will immediately recognize they are utterly inadequate for the task. No matter how hard we try, we will never live up to Christ's ideal. Instead of trying to do it in our own strength, therefore, we need to find our rest and security in God's love for us. Instead of looking to our wives or other people to fill us with the necessary emotional and spiritual resources, we need to look to God. Husbands need to constantly remind themselves of the gospel message and draw on Christ's love. Being involved with other Christians will help remind us of Christ. As a result, the local church is crucial. The more Christ-like our love is, the more our wives will benefit and we will benefit. Furthermore, since marriage is a mystery that demonstrates the profound love that exists between Christ and the church, the more Christ-like we are, the more the gospel and Jesus will be exalted in the world. Copyright 2014, Books at a Glance. Books at a Glance book summaries are available by subscription only, and except for brief quotes, may not be reproduced, in whole or in part, without express written permission.